This is Don't Brow Styles. You're on the air. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Lisa, I want to make comment on 2 points. The Liat situation, the Liat situation, and the Ghana situation. I am very disappointed in the fact that we are looking to do away with Liat. I felt, as a Caribbean person, such pride in the fact that we had our own regional airline and, you know, we were self-sufficient in that way. And in the absence of Liat and not knowing when the new entity will start up, I'm a little concerned, a little disappointed too.
You're not in the minority. I think there are many persons who grieve at the status of where Liat is. And, but for a long time, don't you think it has had, it's been fraught with some significant challenges? And maybe the novelty or maybe the new entity may come with some good horizons, some good positives.
Whatever comes, though, I wish that we would get back to the place where you could travel in the summer once again and visit Trinidad.
And reasonably travel, so. You mean reasonably travel? I was looking back at some, I did a project, I just concluded a project and I had to send off all of my invoices to the entity, and I would have gone to several countries, including Guyana, Trinidad, where the other one was Dominica, St. Lucia, you know, and when I look at the airfares, my goodness. Oh, and this is within the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, as many people know, you pay more money to go to one of your Caribbean brothers and sisters than to just pop up there up in the north, just to go to Miami or Florida somewhere.
It is an issue, $1,200 to travel to Jamaica.
That's more. They are Jamaica and Bahamas are the two pretty more expensive destinations.
That's really a lot. All right, my second observation had to do with the Guyana situation and the fact that a caller had complained that 2.5 hours of discussion and talk was probably too much. Well, I quite enjoyed the 2.5 hours, to tell you the honest truth. Because here we were.
Yeah, we need to know what's going on in our our sister countries, brothers and sisters. We need to.
But not be only a little that, more but here we were having the information brought to us, not filtered through.
Yes.
An analyst or.
That's right.
Somebody here in Barbados who really doesn't know all of the
intricacies
and all of that. But here we were hearing it from the people who were actively
on the ground.
Because
that's right.
We could take our positions now based on that information that we had.
Of course.
From the horse's mouth. The other thing is that, well, it may seem as if the whole confusion, puts the region in a negative light. I've heard people say that. It's embarrassing and all of that. But what I see when I look at it, I am a little impressed by the way it has been managed up to this point. We haven't seen people out in the streets in large measure behaving in violent protests, which is what we see.
You haven't been on the ground in Guyana.
Where election results are in dispute. We haven't seen that in Guyana. From what we've heard, people are going about their business and waiting for the process to play out. So I've been impressed with that part. Where people have been just patiently waiting and allowing the process to play out. The thing is, I have heard persons say that, you know, the fact that they are insisting on valid votes and so on, they should just count the votes and be done with it. But I'm sure I have heard persons up and down the region in previous elections and here in Barbados as well, where irregularities or other issues was, I've heard people complaining about the process and making issues about, you know, whether we had credible votes in instances, whether people had voted incorrectly or this and that and the next. So I am a little bit concerned now that we know Guyana is going through that process of questioning its process and following the lawful means to question its process people are thinking it is too long and that should not be, you know, part of what happens when issues turn up.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, an issue has arisen. There's a legal and lawful way of addressing the issue,
mm-hmm.
and those steps have been taken. And now it's up for everybody to just wait for the issue to be resolved. And the other thing is the extent to which all these people are, you know, just jumping into the process and just, you know, agitating for the present government.
Guyanese themselves?
The external.
Okay. I have a bit of a challenge with all of the...
Yeah, the externals are making it look as though Ghana isn't a sovereign state.
It is sovereign.
You know, doesn't have the right to follow its process as it sees fit. I mean, the issue, we have looked at Venezuela and we have said, you know what, CARICOM's position. You know what?
Let them work it out themselves.
Venezuelans sort out the business by themselves,
yes.
You know? They won't get into Cuba, let the Cubans sort out the business by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it though that everybody wants to get into Guyana and force the position in the direction they want to?
That's a good observation.
That's just my observation.
It's a good observation.
Thank you and have a good afternoon.
Thank you so much for calling and sharing your thoughts. This is Don't Brass Dance. Remember, we go until 2 p.m. and we take one more break, and that will be at 12:34, the lunchtime latest. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
All right. I normally choose my moderators based on the subject matter that I am going to discuss. Reason for this moderator is that your involvement in the physical planning of the city at some time mean that you have an idea of what was put in place or what is to be put in place, so I can be guided along the lane of which I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
Now, I also want to draw attention to the president of Barvin,
mm-hmm.
and the president of the taxi who operate out of the Bridgetown port. There are two reasons for this. Ms. Gill, there is a position here that I have been observing that if it's not taken care of very early, that the gift of Spring Garden, as far as I'm concerned, a beautiful move towards moving the vendors to Spring Garden, which gives them a chance of exciting value for return. I am seeing a lot of different things being set up there. I'm seeing an old van. I'm seeing trailers, I'm seeing all types of things. I'm calling on the president of Barvin to remain, to get it the way it should be and the way that it will operate, that people want to be able to feel comfortable shopping in an area that is conducive for them to shop, and not in an area that is going to be at least condemned with a lot of old vehicles standing around it. So I'm saying to the president of Barvin, stop it now. Stop it now. Other than that, eventually we'll find at a later date that it will be too late to stop. No.
Stop what? Just so that I'm clear.
There are some vehicles outside of the of the plan.
To the back of the of where they are?
Yeah. I've seen a container truck. I've seen a van and all the repairs are still to be done to it. I'm not saying that you know, but my feeling about it, and I think other people about it, were so impressed with what they saw at the beginning.
So this truck came recently and put vehicles there?
Over the last couple of days, Ms. Gail, I passed there and mm-hmm. I saw that there is a vehicle, a minibus on the repairs. Sometime back, I saw a container truck down in there. I don't know if they were delivering a container.
Where the vegetable vendors are normally convenient?
The vendors have a beautiful location.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that if you suppress the vendors with that type of atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
then it would not be conducive for them.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that those persons who find a parking space near to Barvin Market, that the president and the members of it realize this isn't what we're here for. The other thing, having been around Bridgetown, I understand there's a plan now for the tour ships, the crew of the tour ships, when they dock, that they will be able to be taken to the Pleasant Bay Street for a sea bath. What is Pleasant Bay Street? First Pleasant Bay Street. I remember that. But the taxi drivers will be able to take them from Bridgetown Port to that area, probably for a major fee of $3 per person. Now, I see that you're directing them in one area. That is why I'm saying that you've got on the other side of the island, you've got what can be considered as another restaurant. I believe that the business should be shared where the restaurant at Spring Garden will have a benefit of it as well, where that they can take, instead of having to take the crew members, all of them, if possible, to Bay Street, which in true and far, some of it should be sent to Brandon, where the distance is about half and half. So my reason for this is that you've got to share the business. You can't have a situation where you're dominating and sending a particular type of business, all the business, to Bay Street, when the same type of business can be divided, and I'm sure that Bavrin can make themselves available because this is a case where crew level to buy fruits, crew level to buy vegetables, mm-hmm. and this is a case where you may be able to do a trade at that end. So my feeling is that, truthfully speaking, I like the idea of both. That is the idea of moving crew members to Bay Street, to get a sea bath, but I'm also suggesting that why the $3 per head? It could be $5 per head, right around, which means that $5 going and $5 coming, so which means it'd be better. So I'm saying to the president of the Taxi Association, why not try to make an arrangement mm-hmm. where that there could be a sharing of the beaches. Okay. Brandon has got a lovely beach. Mm-hmm. Brandon has got a beach bar there so that people can get something, a restaurant, so that people can get something to eat and people can get something to drink. I think the only thing would be it would be taxing on the security in the area. And I'm sure that Black Rock Police Station or Central Police Station can police that area to prevent anything from happening. Again, Bavrin could be a beneficiary of it because it isn't everybody that would go to the beach to get a bath that might not see a watermelon or see something. I would want to buy some fruit to go back on board the ship with. So that's the case. So if you're going to send all the tourists to Bay Street, mm-hmm. then that is not being fair.
Dr. Brastax, you're on the air. You're still
you,
there? Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Gill.
The point about the taxis and the one about Barvine.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Gill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I believe I need to explain myself a little clearer. I'm not going to go all over it, but I'm saying that in terms of a new innovation, that the cruise line workers who probably want to go for sea bath, who normally catch the vehicle and come to the lower end of Broad Street and then walk across Broad Street to the boatyard, I'm saying I've been hearing that there's a new concept now, and I'm suggesting that instead of redirecting all...
I heard all of that, you know. You wanted me to comment. That was where we ended.
I want to comment on that because I think it's extremely important that we share the business and that with the new market at that location, there's a possibility we can still be able to sell some of our produce.
So you're rooting for someone from Spring Garden or in the Environs to work up a contract or a proposal or something with the persons on the ship so that persons can come directly to them. That's what I'm hearing you say, as opposed to going to one destination in Bay Street.
No. Well, yes. What as you and I would know, there's a situation where the tourist or the crew member will probably come off ship and choose a place to bed or given instructions on where to bed. Having my ears to the ground, I've been told that there is an arrangement where the crew members will be taken to boatyard for a fee of $5, both going, $3 both going and coming.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying that it should be a share situation where that the other end Brandon, which have the facilities there as well, that there should be a way of sharing the distance between the two, giving the taxi drivers the right to have a chance to bring in some cash. I'm also of the opinion that Barvin, a unique position, place there selling vegetables and fruits, would give the vendors there an opportunity to make an additional dollar by way of produce, by way of fruits. Now, I ask your opinion because I know that you have been involved, and as I said earlier, that you choose your moderator because that person or person that have an idea of what I'm talking about. I want to hear your opinion on that.
The person's going to another destination, I think that has to do with deliberations or negotiations. And if persons from the boatyard presented themselves and were able to land a contract, I think persons from the other environs on the other side that you're speaking of, which is close to Brandon's and the surrounding areas, they themselves also have to create that relationship. It doesn't just happen in the sky, because you think that one should is more fair, or it is fair, I should say, for one entity to get some of the pie. I hear where you're going. I'm hearing you to say that the business should be shared, and it shouldn't be one particular establishment benefiting from tourists. I gather that much. And I agree with you, but I also know that there are relationships that are built up, and that nobody comes and drops business in your hand, one. And oftentimes it is, of course, coming from either a discussion or a proposal or something of that sort. And I also know that sometimes the taxi men can also point the tourists in the direction of an alternative. They don't always have to go in one place. And if that place presents what the tourists want, then they will gravitate there. That's my comment.
Point taken, and you said it, that have to be negotiation, which might work in favor, and that the taxi driver has a last word in destination. So I agree with that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. It has been my pleasure, Mark. Down to brass tacks.
Hello, Miss Gill. How are you doing?
I am doing well, thanks. Yourself?
I am fine, thanks, for now.
Good stuff.
Ms. Gill, I want to raise with you the Planning and Development Amendment Act 2020 that was passed by both the lower and upper house in Parliament. Now, there are a number of issues with this act, but the amendment I really want to focus on today is the change that states that if you get a piece of change in your pocket and you decide to renovate your house, your family could live comfortably in the country, the act actually forces you to move out of your own house, then turn around and seek government's permission to be able to move back into your own house. Can you tell me if something occurred in recent times to trigger this attack on poor people?
Yeah, that's something that I now have to read upon. I read a piece of it last night. Of course, I was too groggy to get all the details, because I knew that someone might have asked in this discussion today. And I don't have all of the details on it to come to that, but could you tell me the particular
section?
Well, I'm trying to pull it up here now as we speak.
The title is Planning and Development
Amendment Act 2020. Yes, I have that, but I just want the
section is section 12. The amendment. Section 12 and then amend Section 44 of the Parent Act by adding a number of new sections, among them Section 44E and 44E1.
That's strange that it's not coming up. Continue so that we can all have a discussion on it, because it's an important point. I did hear in my research yesterday, it came up. Lovely. You said Section 12.
Section 12, Section 44 of the Parent Act. And is among 44E and 44E1. But for the benefit of the listeners, I just want to read an extract on this particular amendment that is referring to.
And it says occupancy certificates.
Yes, please.
But before you get there, what causes you to want an occupancy certificate?
Right, and that's what I'm about to read now.
Okay.
So no person shall occupy a new or renovated building, or a new extension to a building or permit any such new renovated or extended building to be occupied until an occupancy certificate has been issued.
Right, but I wanted you to define an occupancy certificate so we get to, because you've gone to the point of how an occupancy certificate works. I want to understand why is there a need for an occupancy certificate in the first place? Because if you live in your house, you don't need to have a certificate.
Right, so what the act is saying, and I'm just as confused as you, Miss Gill. What the act
I'm not confused. I now have to read it to understand it, so I wouldn't call myself confused.
If you're renovating your house, when you renovate your house, when you're in order to continue to live in the house that you're renovating, you have to first move out and apply for the certificate to get permission to move back.
If I just renovate in one bathroom and I have two other bathrooms, I have to move out of my house?
Yes, Miss Gill, that is what this amendment is saying.
That's not what this amendment is saying. I don't read that.
And it goes on to say, this amendment would prohibit the occupation of any portion of a new or renovated building or an extension to that building until you pay the government its demanded fee and the government permits you to occupy that building. That is what I'm getting from this, Miss Gill. I mean, it's clear there in the writing. Once you're renovating the house, you have to move out the house and get permission to move back into the house. And that's
respectfully, I need to get the original. I'm actually going to try to see if I can get the original. But I take your point that what you read there doesn't make sense.
Right.
And it needs more clarification. For sure, sure, sure. But I always know there's either some chapeau or some other part of the act that says notwithstanding or in the purpose, you know, for the purposes of clarity and in the interest of doubt and all those other things to further explain a piece of the legislation. So I don't want to just jump to section 44E of 12. I want to know what leads us to 12 so that I understand why a certificate is needed. And I think you could understand me there as well, that we need to have all of the details first before we come to that conclusion.
Which is why initially I would have asked you what had happened in recent times to trigger this attack on poor people. Because, and also, right, and let me go by what the thing is saying right now, that you have to move out. It means that you actually have to pay a transportation company to transit your fridge and your stove and your bed and furniture and everything to the new place that you're going to have to live temporarily. And on top of that, the new place that you're living temporarily, you have to pay rent on it. Right, and I don't think that this is the right time to be doing this kind of thing to poor people, because people just recovering from the shutdown that they had over 50,000 claims at the NAS. People don't have the money to be doing these things.
I see here that the new Barbados Planning Act approved in 2019, which is the one that would have been approved shortly after the administration changed, aims to provide a system that is open, transparent, accountable, inclusive, and efficient. Fit for purpose in the context of a small island developing state in the 21st century. And these amendments you're saying go contrary to that position.
Correct.
Because, of course, it would cause the house owner or the occupants to incur significant costs just for the renovation. And I say to you, without even reading the right act, there is no government or no act that can tell me I live in my home, I'm renovating a bathroom, I may want to change the tiles, I may want to change the plastic on the walls or something, and I'm renovating my house, but I have to move to my house and then seek a certificate. Does that make sense to you?
No.
Right. So it does not make any sense.
Because you're paying land tax to be on the property that you're on.
So right, but you seem very worked up about something that we haven't confirmed what it really is yet.
I'm going on the basis of the legislation that...
But you have a piece of the legislation, you don't have all.
All right, fair enough, Ms. Gill. I can wait for more of it, as you say, and we can have a further discussion on it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but thanks for raising it. Thank you so much. Dr. Bassacks, good afternoon.
Ms. Gill.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Okay. I think Mark, I have a lot of respect for Mark. By taking ease of vacation, he's now doing a lot of repetition. Keeps repeating himself. When I take his ease of vacation.
When last you went on your vacation?
But I don't call as often as he. That's the point.
You watching callers?
Pardon?
You watching callers?
The point I am making, Mr. Hill, is that he repeats himself twice, and that's a sign of something that's not really the best. So all I'm
so suppose I accuse you of calling me and doing the same thing before, repeating yourself.
There's no time I call you that I ever repeat myself. I can do better than that. I can do better than that.
So all I want to burst your bubble, though, and tell you that you have repeated yourself, having called me and raised several matters.
I repeat myself saying what? To say what?
Matters relating to the port.
Miss Gill, you know this fella here then.
I don't know.
Let me move on.
All right.
He's made a good point, however, when he talked about dividing the trade between Browns Beach and Brandon. Because in my opinion, I think Brandon is the best beach in the whole world. But with respect to getting the vendors to sell vegetables and fruits to the people coming from the ships, that's a no-no. Because those people coming from the ships is leave the best quality, high-quality fruits on the ship and vegetables. I don't think they will come ashore to buy them things. So although I agree with him, I don't think that the vendors will play anything in there unless the vendors can sell fruits to the restaurant down there that used to be Wiser's. And it's a good idea, like we're saying. And I think Smiley Bailey, you got to look into that. Anyway, on another note now, though, still in shipping.
Pardon me, you want to change the subject now?
No, I'm still in shipping.
Can you talk about something different?
shipping is my forte.
So you can't say that a caller calling and saying the same thing over and over?
No. There's a difference between talking about your subject matter and repeating it. That's different.
My goodness.
You can't repat the same thing over and over and over. I could talk about shipping.
This is the first time I ever heard him talk about this, though.
About shipping?
No, this is the first time I ever heard Mark talk about the person sharing the play. You heard that before?
I have not heard it, but I like
so what you're saying. Accusing him of something that he has not actually done.
Miss Gill, you missing the point, you know. I'm not talking about he has spoken about it today, yesterday, or last week. Are you saying that he's saying it twice?
But he attempted, in all fairness, we went on a break, and he attempted to repeat so that we, you know, catch the gist of what he was saying. I am the one who intervened and said, I understand what you were saying.
Yeah, and I agree with him. I agree with Mark 100%. He's probably correct. But anyway, let me move on.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, a ship agent called me and asked me to see if I can recruit a couple of qualified cooks for a shipping company that run tankers to Barbados. Those tankers that come here are affectionately known as the PG tankers. I think it's Pinchogordon tankers. There's a whole lot of them that demand in Douglas, UK. He named those as brand new ships, and he named each of them after his grandchildren. Daughters only.
Okay.
And the bad thing about that, dear Miss Gale, is that you can get any amount of qualified cooks who can plan a daily menu and who can take charge of the stores and storeroom on the ship. But you know what they don't have? They don't have an STCW certificate that would allow them to work on the ship, because the ships have on Guyanese cooks and they want to change it from Guyanese to Bajans, but they can't do it only because the Bajan cooks ain't got an STCW. So my argument, my thing is this. I want to know why whoever is responsible for ships and seamen in this country, why can't they start and start this course where they do? I think they do it. But they need to do it and get the school accredited. So that once you do this STCW course, then that it will be accredited right here on the spot and you can get a job on a ship. Because you can't work on a ship from the captain right down to the messman. Cannot work on a ship unless he or she has that STCW accreditation. And that is the point I want to make. And that is bad. I think the government needs to look into.
So, question for you: the persons who you are recruiting for that shipping agent would have that training?
If they have that title?
Yeah, the FTCW training. They don't have it,
and because they don't have it, they can't get no work. And I'm saying that the government needs to look into, even outside of this company, that got these oil tankers outside of this company, those the government should look into that school, STCW, and so that the people here can do it.
What is the acronym? What does the acronym stand for?
Safety training and certification for wash keepers. I think that's what it is. Safety training and certification for wash keepers, STCW.
WC.
Huh?
You said...
And certification for wash keepers.
Watch.
Yeah, watch keepers.
With a K?
W-A-T-C-H.
No. You said watch keepers, and I'm asking you if keepers with a K?
Yeah. Keepers. K-W-E-P-E-R-S. Watch keepers.
So that would be right? F-T... That would be C-F-W-K, or it is not according to the acronym?
STCW is called STCW.
Okay.
It is safety training and certification for wash keepers. That's what it is. And I think that I hear that the polytechnic do it. I hear that the polytechnic do it. You found it?
No, I was trying to understand the acronym, but you said safety training and certification for wash keepers, which is STCWK, but it doesn't have a K on it. I understand.
Right. So all I'm saying is that at the polytechnic, I understand it's doing it up there, but it needs some kind of accreditation. Once you've done it up there, that's all. But it needs some kind of accreditation so that when these international companies come a calling the next time around, because our prime minister has been so kind to them, and I really would like to congratulate her on that. She has been so kind to these big shipping companies that they're bound to come back and give us our people some work. So we have to be prepared for that eventuality.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get that there sorted out. You know, that's something you could mention. Because you sit at the mahogany table at the highest level.
I like you, you know. I like to listen to you.
I like you too. But on another note, right? That's something that they could do. But on another note, you know, I spoke to you the other day, and I told you about the Newport Authority building, and you asked me why they mentioned it to somebody. But, you know, they don't listen to small people. I'd be like a friar in a whale pond. Let me tell you something, Miss Gale. When they was reconfigurating the port under Noel Lynch, I told Noel Lynch, I think it was Noel Lynch, but anyway, I told one of the big boys, what they can do is right at the side of the sea, but the seaside there coming down Traverse Way, where they got that jungle, because they call it a jungle. That there could have had two nice lanes of traffic coming down there for the taxis and the buses, and keep them vehicles off the road. And then to the back of the gate, closest to the sea, they could have opened up there so that those vehicles going down in the port to pick up passengers could go around to the back of that building right alongside the sea and go right down. And they would go to a point and stop, and then from there, the security would call them out as they are needed. But nobody ain't listening to me. But you see what happened now?
You ain't sitting at the mahogany table. That's your problem. So nobody ain't listening to you.
Well, I won't be there.
Well, you can't be heard and don't sit where your voice is heard.
But yes, I just told you that I also told you that I'm a friar in a real pond. So I can't get the mahogany table, but you know, they got a lot of people that work in the port. I got some brilliant ideas, but the port will never know because the port don't ask nobody nothing. You know, the other day...
I mean, I do it a lot. I let people say what they want to say because they have to. But then you just said the port don't listen to nobody. So I guess if that's what you feel, that's what you feel.
Listen,
I'm not trying to defend.
Listen, the other day, even if you defend or nothing, I expect you to be a defender of the port. Because I'm a defender of the port, you know, don't get tired with me. I defend the port to the hill. But when it needs to get criticized, it will be criticized. You know, constructively, that is. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, the other day I had this thing where I was standing around asking people to give them ideas of how to combat the port. And I gave a certain lady in the office a lot of brilliant ideas. And she told me that the people told her, yes, these are good ideas. But you know, they don't know about 9 ideas I gave her. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, you know. I mentioned about 15 or more years ago, down on the Great Wall, where they could clean up the Great Wall and put up signs down, advertising hoardings down there, so the port could make some money and got the Great Wall up pretty and nice. And the man that tell me, man, that the port ain't gonna do that there, man. The port ain't gonna do that. And all them things that the port.
Have you written? I asked this to you before. Have you written any of the either the board chairs or the general managers, CEOs, of the port? Or you just mentioned these things to people?
I didn't write any.
People don't listen to me, you know. I don't know more to say.
But you know, you told me one thing that you can send this lady to help me write a book.
No.
She did call.
Wrong. I put her on to you, but I didn't tell you I can send somebody to help you write a book.
Right. No, I mean you put her on to me.
Yes.
And she actually followed up with your invitation to call me.
Right. And the ball is in your court.
But I didn't know it could be in my court. The ball would have been in the court of the RBC.
Okay.
Or the credit union, because it would have been too expensive to do that. So I only say that to you.
Things don't happen. Don't drop out of hat, you know. You got to put in some blood or some sweat, some tears, or some money.
After finance. All the things I could put in that set before finance.
Well.
But anyway, Ms. Gear, just to conclude what I was saying to you just now, and they didn't do what I told them with respect to putting two nice.
What you suggested, not what you told them, because you're not in control.
Right. What I suggested to them, they didn't do it. And now you see what's happening? The park all over the place. They're down there now fighting for work and things that kind of way. But I know Smiley Bailey is a good person, and I'm almost certain that Smiley Bailey will bring some decency and bring some calm among them fellas down there. Because they got a lot of good people's work down there, you know. I introduced on the shipping hotline a system where when I update the shipping hotline in the evening, when I call out the name of the ship, I would also say how much passengers the ship has. And the taxi drivers would love that. They say, you know, that makes life easy for me because suddenly they got big ships and cover a little bit of people. So if they have an idea of how much people, passengers the ship has, they know to move the next day. You know? So
okay.
I give a lot of ideas, but they don't listen to me, man. It's a small fry.
I'm going to thank you for your contribution.